So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Welcome to your bi-weekly dose of lightsabers, infinity stones, and all things plastic. This is episode 65 of the Toy Aisle Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dave Shaw. Kevin, what's up, good sir? What's up, man?
I am ecstatic. I'm elated that I'm back here on our bi-weekly dose of the Toy Aisle Podcast to be able to sit here with you, Mr. Dave. And we got a hell of a show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but I would be not doing it justice if I did not congratulate my Cincinnati Bengals. After 31 damn years, we finally broke through the glass ceiling and we won a playoff game. And those same Bengals, because all the other teams took care of business, are coming here to Nashville this Saturday to challenge the Titans to go to the AFC Championship. And I am deciding, Dave, am I going to possibly put some pre-orders away so that I can afford tickets to this Titanic matchup?
That's what I was thinking.
What do you think?
I was like, oh man, you're not going to be buying hot toys for like a week or two. That's going to go all to scalper money. You're feeding another market. Yeah,
I know. We talk about clown makeup and things like that. Is that I'm the enemy here. It's not like I can call up my Titans friends and be like, hey, can I have your Titans seat? Because everyone that I know that has season tickets, they're not willing to give it to somebody that wants to go there and, you know, cheer against them. And so that's an interesting situation I'm in. But if there's anybody out there at the sound of my voice that says, Kevin, you deserve to have happiness, then please, would you DM me, shoot me a text, something to let me know that we will be there at Nissan Stadium to see the Bengals take on the Tennessee Titans.
And nothing crazy, just some sideline passes that, you know, we don't need, you know, the VIP, but like sideline passes, bare minimum. I mean, let's get our boy Kevin there. Yep.
I mean, look, you get me to the Titans game, I will help bring you to ICCC to see the Emperor. That seems like a good trade. Meet Joe Burrow, meet the Emperor. It's all the same.
Yeah, same guy. Yeah. All right. Well, I was definitely rooting for you guys. It's funny. I was with my best friend this weekend, who's a diehard Raiders guy. Ooh. And I was like, I can't really talk about that game because, like, I don't think he maybe remembered that you were a Bengals guy. But you guys look good. So
remember, I told you at the beginning of the fantasy football season, I was like, do not sleep on Ja'Marr Chase. And that man will win offensive or probably rookie of the year.
He will.
He broke every single record for every rookie out there. And so hope you enjoyed that. I'm sorry we weren't able to guide you to a championship.
Yeah, but it's never going to happen.
What did you finish? Third? Finish third or something?
Finished third for the second year in a row. Yeah, it's never going to happen, man. But enough fucking football talk. Let's get into some real hardcore shit. Let's talk about some toys. Oh, actually,
yeah, man.
Let's do our pickups first, and then we'll get into toys. I got some goodies, man. Do you want to kick it off? You want me to kick it off?
Please, Dave. Okay. I've ran my mouth enough already.
All right. Well, first, and there was no like rhyme or reason for this. I happen to have two of the exact same character, just different toy lines, and one was planned. So this is the creature from the Black Lagoon, the Uncle Milton glow in the dark figures. We talked about these for my trip in Denver. I found four of them in Denver. And then, you know, after I did some research, that was at awesome Mile High Comics, which is amazing, by the way. And after I found those four, I was like, okay, to eBay. That I do what any, you know, sane collector does.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. As soon as they discover a line that they've never really like been familiar with or have seen before, they buy what's there and then they research the hell of it and then they go on Evil Bay. And that's what I did. I realized there was two more of that set, Hunchback and Creature. Creature came today and Hunchback should be here shortly. And I also have another creature from the Black Lagoon.
Now, I like that one. That one's sharp.
Sideshow Collectibles.
Yes, sir.
Pretty articulated. So this is he's definitely in that 7-8 range. very, very tall, very, you know, meaty. Not five a point, I know 5 points, but he's got 1, 2, 3, 4. He's got the thigh cuts. Like he's got a good amount of articulation and the base. The base is really cool. Dude, I got that for $10.
$10.
So Terra Trader, that my new favorite store, local, you know, year-round horror shop, they had a flea market parking lot swap meet kind of thing. And
now that's cool.
Yeah, and they just had other vendors, you know, kind of, you know, it'd be like me, you know, getting my own booth at a toy show, you know. So right, there's like people like that just offloading their personal collection, and this guy just had that for 10 bucks. I was like, well, I'll buy that for the base. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, drop a Hamilton on there and you're good to go.
Yeah, and I had no idea that it was even Sideshow until you know, I got in my car and I started looking at the label. I was like, oh, this is fucking Sideshow collectibles. So
is it a numbered piece at all?
It's not numbered. They go for about, like, you know, $100 in box and everything. Mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of accessories. Like he has a spear gun and the net, which this doesn't have. So missing out there. But
gotcha.
I mean, he's going to look great.
Wait, for $10. I mean, goodness, that's like a Happy Meal.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just going to go perfect along with, you know, my physical media stuff, my tapes and my Blu-rays and shit like that. So, yeah, so that's it for toys, but I do have one thing to end my kind of haul with.
Oh, yes. And is this what I saw yesterday?
I don't know.
Oh, I saw on your Instagram story. This is exciting if it's what I think it is.
Well, no, I'm not going to show. But I'll talk about it. Two other things. I bit the bullet and I got a Spirit Proton Pack.
Okay, yep.
We've talked about this.
Yep.
I'm gonna, you know, I don't want to wait until 2023. I want to bust now, you know. So I finally bit the bullet, got a Spirit Pack, and I'm like, fuck it, like I'll just mod the shit out of it. That'll be like a fun thing. And then, you know, when the HasLab one comes, you know, maybe I'll buy another Spirit Pack, and then, you know, Connor will have that one, and you know,
that'll be a cool thing. Pass it on down.
I just figured, you know, we could kind of like just you know, work on it together. So, pretty impressed with that. But what you're probably talking about is that Monsters, the Monster promo piece that I got for the video store.
Well, I'm talking about the comic book.
Oh no, yeah, I got that a long time ago. I was just posting that because the Moon Knight trailer that dropped last night. See,
I knew that, but in my back of my mind, I thought
maybe it's another thinking, one or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I was thinking you're because you still need Daredevil, right?
I'll never get that book.
I got him flip flopped. That was messed up. I messed that one up. Okay, but still,
I'll never get that book. So this kind of coming off the rails here on my end. So one of my all-time favorite underrated movies in the horror genre. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, it's a comedy horror is The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox, directed by Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
So have you seen that movie, Kevin?
I know of it. I've never seen it.
Okay. So,
but you those know, are big names, big name director, big name actor.
It's after the Back to the Future heyday. Mm-hmm. It's one of Michael J. Fox's last movies that he probably really had like a serious role in, other than like, you know, voice acting. So it was kind of when he's wrapping up his acting career. And yeah, dude, it's Peter Jackson, and it's just really good. It doesn't get enough attention kind of in, you know, the horror world. But anyways, I bought 3 tapes.
Okay, here we go.
So
VHS,
first,
right?
VHS. So I finally got the original, you know, just the standard VHS. Okay, so this is the one I already got it plugged in the VHS player. Been watching that here and there, you know, cleaning the house, whatnot. But and then number two and three are special ones. So number two, I got a sealed copy of it in the they did this.
Okay, so I have seen this. It's just been a long time ago. Is that I remember going to my old, you know, Blockbuster video and seeing this because the packaging was so iconic.
Yep. And okay. Yeah, it's got like Jeffrey Combs in it. But anyways, yeah, it's got this lenticular kind of holographic cover, and it's sealed. So that was cool. I got that for $8, and I know that's like, I feel like that's a steal, but it's like, dude, you paid $8 for a VHS tape. You know? So
well, it's I'm sure you've seen, you and I have chatted. I mean, some of those old VHS tapes are going for like 10 grand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know when the market's going to turn and be like, hey, you know, Frighteners is the thing to have.
It's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, it's a 10.0 PSA grade.
It's sealed. And, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, like when people say, oh, it's a VHS sealed. It's like, dude, I can buy a goddamn fucking sealer and seal all my tapes right now.
Right. Yeah.
It, unless it has some sort of like, oh, you know, buy two VHS tapes by Paramount and get a free popcorn, like some sticker
that would
make sense. That unless it's got that, then it's, you're kind of dicey there. But and this one does, so it's got a little Target sticker, so
hell yeah,
legit sealed. And then the third and last one, this is not a VHS podcast, I do apologize, we'll get there, VHS we'll get junkie. There I got, oh no, that's the same one.
I was gonna say, that one looked awfully familiar. Yeah,
that's the same one. No. So this one, generic black, nothing crazy, no special thing, but this is a screener. So this is the tape that is not for sale or rental.
Interesting.
This would be the promotional tapes that the VHS stores would get from the production companies in trying to get to entice them to buy tapes.
Cool. I never knew that was a thing, and that's super cool.
So yeah, so I got that, and I think that's gonna make a nice little set, the three of them. They'll look good. So I'll be dropping a post there and here in a little bit. I got some other promotional Frightener shit coming too, but I've been having fun kind of doing a focus collection with the Frighteners there. So what did you get, man? Hopefully you got some toys, no VHS tapes.
Well, I would be remiss if I said that I didn't at least tell a video. Here I am talking like you. I did get a movie, which I'm sure you did too, is that I went ahead and got the digital copy of Ghostbusters Afterlife. And I've watched it 3 times since I've had it. And I know we've talked about this. I mean, we love our Ghostbusters, but it actually gets better each time that I watch it. I mean, there's little things that I see. The acting is just so good for like the kids, and I really enjoy the story. I really do. I know some people didn't, and they thought that, you know, it wasn't a Ghostbuster. It was great. And so I was happy that, you know, I got the digital copy in 4K, you know, and been able to enjoy that. So I've really, really enjoyed that. But I did get some plastic as well. I guess technically it's ceramic or vinyl, if you want to get real technical about it.
Resin,
but I showed it to
resin.
I'm not for sure what it's officially made of, but it is the Gentle Giant Darth Maul 1/7 bust that I showed you from Rebels. Very, very cool. Got that from Replay Toys. Great deal on that. I'm surprised like how many of these little busts I've actually started to accumulate. And because they're cool, they collect well, they're reasonably priced, and they display really well. So that may be another black hole that I'm going down. But the other piece that I got that I'm happy to announce that hopefully is going to be showing up on my doorstep during this call is that I was able to get the Hot Toys Punisher and Daredevil. I showed you that.
Dude. I was so happy when you sent that. I was like, but I was happy. And then I was immediately like, dude, yeah, why the fuck doesn't he already have these? Like, I just assumed like you should have had those.
Did you know that? Here's your fun fact. Those are the first TVS, because, you know, if you look at your Hot Toys, there's MMS, Movie Masterpiece Series. Those are the first TVS figures that they've ever produced. TVS 03 and 04. Yeah, and most of your Clone Wars and Mandalorian stuff are all fall under the television line, but those are the first TV pieces that Hot Toys did. And so I do have 03 and 04, which is Daredevil and Punisher. And it took me a while to get back into Daredevil. And at that point, I'm like, why don't I own these? Like you said, and they are some of the best ones that are out there. And I'm ashamed to say, you know, that, you know, I probably overpaid for them, but they are unobtainable. Otherwise, they're one of those rare sets. And if you have one, you really need the other. At least that's the way I think.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to have that. And so at any moment, the doorbell could ring and it could be dropped off and you'll hear the dogs yell. But I've had some real crappy times. I know we got a special segment coming up, Collector Casually, but we'll get to that of some other things, but a lot of my deliveries have been really awkward recently. I guess maybe the snowstorms and the pandemic and things like that. But
yeah,
I got a lot of missing packages out there, man. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. And Kevin mentioned there. Yeah, we have a brand new, it's making its debut tonight, collector casualty segment. So that'll be a fun one. We'll try to, I mean, there's always going to be, there's so much failure and shit that goes wrong in the collector community. So I'm sure
we don't want it to make it. Yeah, we don't want people to think that it's all easy breezy for us and that we never stumble and make mistakes and fuck-ups like as collectors. We have some pretty terrible ones that we can't wait to get into.
Overpaying or, I mean, the old, I remember like on a Friday night, I would drive around to like 9 Walgreens looking for the Obi-Wan Kenobi, ghost, the Force ghost exclusive.
Were you keeping the clown makeup in the car at that point?
Yeah. I had to reapply it at red lights. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm getting ready to go into Walgreens, better put my shoes on, you know? Yeah, dude, that's going to be fun. Okay. So, and that's it for pickups then?
Yeah, that's it for me for now.
Okay. So we did want to do a quick acknowledgement here. Last week we unfortunately lost one of the OG homies in the Arizona toy community, but just a toy community period. Don, he goes by AZ Toy Guy. He passed away last week. Young guy too. Two kids. It sucks, man. It's really sad. We'll say, rest in peace there, Don. He was always an awesome guy at the toy shows. Really, really fun guy to, bullshit with online and whatnot. But yeah, he will definitely be missed. So,
yeah. And that's one thing that we love our toys and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's the community, I think, that we really, really enjoy. I mean, Dave, I met you through, my toys, and the relationships that I have from our toys is far more valuable to me than any of the things that are on my shelf. And it's a shame that, we lost one of our own. But as I'm sure he would be saying that, don't let any releases go by without him now. So we need to make sure to stay focused and keep doing what we love to do. And we will be missing him and our thoughts and prayers with the family. He'd want us to continue on, and that's what we will do naturally. We got some things to talk about. Let's just jump right into it, Dave. I mean, there's no good transition from that, but
no.
Let's just get into this. I mean, obviously, we've had 3 episodes of the Book of Boba Fett now.
Yep.
And it's got a little bit of controversy brewing, and we can talk about that.
Yeah.
We can talk about that. We have a brand new episode that will be coming out tonight at midnight. So episode 4 will be debuting hours for when this podcast actually does launch. And Dave, I'm not going to steal any of your thunder, but at this point, this 4th episode really needs to kick it into gear, because I'm a little disheartened and a little bit worried.
Refresh my memory. It's 6 episodes, right? Or is it 8?
Well, I thought it was, someone told me it was 7, but I thought it was 6.
Yeah. If it's 6, oh boy. Yeah, we better fucking get go. There better be some serious development in the storyline fast on chapter 4 if it's only 6.
It is officially 7 episodes according to 7. IMDb.
Okay.
Yes.
So regardless, something has to happen that really, tells the direction of where this story is going. Our last chat about it was on week 1. I was all in. I'm still all in. Episode 3 was, in my opinion, the weakest offering from not just Book of Boba Fett, but both seasons of The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. That really fell flat for me. I think I told you after I watched it, I was like, I gotta watch it again. I might hate it. And then I watched it again and I was like, yeah, I fucking hate that episode. I hated it. I hated that episode. It's all the same shit everyone else is kind of complaining about. Like, what the fuck is going on with that? The Biff Tanner's
the cyberpunk
future
team.
Yeah, the steampunk moped riders. That car chase was like, Jesus Christ, like, what are we going here? Like, you know, like 25 miles an hour. Like, so there's too many gripes to get into it. But yeah, I fucking hated that episode. I hope it really, you know, takes off and I get back on board with the show.
Yeah, it's a shame where you have the actors and actresses coming out saying, I think, because they hear it, you know, and naturally they troll the Reddit boards, I'm sure. But they hear it and they're coming out and saying that your perception of the series is, I think Ming-Na is the one who said this, is that the perception of the series and the character will be changed when the series is over. And yeah, if you're having to when you make that proclamation, that's essentially saying, don't give up, keep watching. You shouldn't have to be making that statement. And right, for a character that we've known for 40 years, that's the thing, is that this isn't just some person, you know, that showed up, found a lightsaber and, you know, is discovering their hero's journey. This is an established character that had, in my opinion, a pretty damn good arc in The Mandalorian already. And we established that, you know, I went back and watched The Tragedy, is the episode of The Tragedy is what it was called in season two. And when he comes back up, saying, I've been tracking you, Mandalorian, you know, I want my armor and all that stuff. I have a sniper on Grogu right now if you don't give me what I want. Yep. And the way he behaved and acted against the Mando, as well as assassinating some of these stormtroopers, it seems like it's a totally different character. And that's what I'm just a little bit off on. The big one for me is when Black Kersantan rips him out of the Bacta tube. He's rolling around essentially naked, which is a real bad look for a badass character. And then he walks out in a robe. I don't understand that. I mean, he has no idea.
I didn't catch that.
He has no idea that the threat has been subdued. You know, Boba Fett is one of the badass bounty hunters in the galaxy. And after he's been assaulted, he has no idea that the threat's been subdued at this point. No, we see that, you know, the biker scouts, you know, chase him down into the pit. But he comes out and he's got his robe on. I'm like, my man, you had your armor and your rifles and everything. You didn't grab anything.
Right.
It's weird to me.
It's, I mean, way left field. But when you started saying that about the robe and like the kind of, you know, coming out of the shower, I immediately thought of Viggo Mortensen in Eastern Promises, where they get in that like epic gang fight and they're all naked. Yeah, so I thought of that. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Yeah, like it's very different. You know, when you first told me, you're like, hey, like the character of Boba Fett, like where did the ruthless bounty hunter go, and where did this compassion come? And I'm like, all right, well, maybe they'll flesh that out. Maybe that'll be like some of the payoff. Maybe, you know, the flashback scenes with the Tusken Raiders, maybe they'll draw that out throughout the whole season, and then you'll see, you know, him actually developing that into that compassion through the Tusken Raiders. So I was like, oh, they might wrap that kind of idea up at the end. So I was fine with that. But this last episode was just missed opportunities. I think sorry, I'll just want to finish my thought here. Like with Mandalorian, it's that Western look, you know, it's the Western gunslinger. That's why it works so well. I always thought that this was going to be such a perfect companion piece to that story, but a gangster storyline, you know, that gangster vibe, an Italian mafia type vibe. And that's where I was really getting excited about. And I'm just really not seeing that yet.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, is that this is going to be, I mean, this is the more than halfway point. It should be, it needs to peak in this episode and continue on. I mean, they did say we're going to war, then I guess we'll see, you know, but there has to be some type of payoff. Cause as of right now, a dude running around with some cyberpunk guys and slow car chases with Danny Trejo hanging out with the Rancor, we need something a little bit more than that. So I'm hoping for a big payoff. I still believe in what Favreau and Filoni are doing, but here's your hot take, and then we'll get into some hot toys. How about that?
Yeah.
Is that if they do not land this plane properly, I'm extremely worried about Kenobi, because if Kenobi flops and you get a pass with Boba Fett. If there's any missteps on Kenobi, the fan base will absolutely go nuclear.
Man, you get a pass with Boba Fett. I feel like he's just like, if you fuck up that ruthless bounty hunter, you know, I don't know, man, but yeah, I'm with you. It's going to get really dicey if they don't stick the landing. And I just keep thinking too, I'm like, if they don't introduce either one or the other, if not both, Dengar and Bossk, and you decided to have these Power Ranger biker gangs as your squad instead of, like, you know, would people be like, oh, it's too much fan fiction to have Dengar? No, I mean, it's Star Wars. Nothing's fan fiction. This, you know what I mean? Like, so I hope we get Dengar or Bossk. I really want to see them. And I felt like that could have been them instead of that steampunk Angel Grove, Power Ranger squad. All right. So Hot Toys. So they broke the Gentle Giants got a $350 Boba Fett static on throne for $350. And I was looking back with the Hot Toys version of that, you know, with the throne. That's $390. So this Gentle Giant's going to be smaller than a 6-scale, obviously. The pose is weird, by the way. Is it
like officially like a 1/7 or something, like most of the Gentle Giant pieces?
I don't know what the scale is. It's a premier piece. So those are a little bit larger than the mini bust, but it's still not a 6-scale. It's not going to be nearly as big as a Hot Toy. So, I mean, I'm just seeing those two prices and I see a big gap in value there. And I don't know. I mean, am I crazy? I mean, that seems like a ripoff for the Gentle Giant. I never thought I'd say that, but like you get way more bang for your buck with Hot Toys here.
You do. I mean, you're going to be paying a hair more for the Hot Toys piece, but you get a fully articulated figure with the head sculpt. Keep that in mind. You do get the head sculpt, which is fantastic.
Right.
That's one of the other things I forgot. I do have the Boba Fett 2-pack that came in, which is incredible. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that. I see him sitting right there. But that head sculpt's incredible. And so you can use that as an option. But when you look at the Gentle Giant piece, I mean, it's a resin or whatever we decide that is. It looks a little glossy and there's no articulation to it. And depending on, here's my thing with statues that I've found. If the paint is not applied properly and there's too much sheen on it, I think it makes it look cheap. And from the promo pieces I saw for Gentle Giant, it looks a little, it does not look like a $350 piece. Now we can see when we get the finals, certainly. But yeah, man, I would just pay an extra few bucks and get the 6-scale Hot Toy.
Yeah. I mean, you are right. It's the 1/7 scale. We're almost there. I think the only other thing that might lift up the value on it is the edition size is only 1,000.
Yeah, still, and I know people love their exclusivity. I mean, we're collectors. We like that type of stuff. I didn't know it was 1,000. That's a pretty low production run for something that is a cool display piece. But for me, man, yeah, just pay the extra little bit and get a real, real nice piece.
Yeah, I mean, this just doesn't scream statue to me, which is kind of weird. You'd think the throne would be nice, but how he's sitting on it and stuff like that, I feel like he's got to go potty. Yeah, he's on the bidet. You know?
I was gonna say he's on that bidet, man.
Oh man, the back to bidet.
Yeah, having his flashback does. Oh my God.
Yeah, he has his flashbacks while he's on his bidet. He's just like squeezing one out.
Yeah, man. When that stream hits you just right, I mean, it is. It's euphoric. It's euphoric.
the lizard goes up his nose and out his ass. All right. Jesus.
Okay. Good.
All right. So, let's introduce our new segment. So this new segment is called Collector Casualty. And, you know, maybe every week, I mean, there's going to be plenty of stuff to pull from, but basically we are going to talk about anything that is failed one of us, you know, that week, whether, you know, something falls off the DTOF and breaks, or, you know, something comes from Target and they bend it in half and ship it, you know, just kind of stuff like that. And I thought we would go out with a bang here. We'd start this segment off with a bang. So we all know I'm working on my toy room, my nerd haven. And I finally got, I had temporary countertops, AKA I just had like some old boards that I like makeshifted so I could work a little bit. But I've been waiting on countertops for my new room for about 2 months, finally got them installed. I was screwing around with, my TV and, was this just yesterday or no, it was on Sunday. And I'm watching TV. I'm watching football and I'm looking at the TV and I'm like, you know, it's a little crooked. It's a fucking cunt hair crooked, you know, just off a little bit. And I'm like, okay, that OCD is going. Everything else looks nice and neat. So I start monkeying around with the TV. And I shit you not, my brand new 50-inch TV that's less than 2 months old, fucking falls on my head and cracks.
Oh, shit. I would have lost it.
I'm like, the way I was holding it, too, I wasn't even able to catch it. So it literally landed on top of my head. And I'm like holding it on top of my head now, trying to balance it. Cords are ripping out of the wall. There's shit.
God. Like, I'm getting anxiety thinking about this.
Dog's going crazy. I'm just yelling for Lindsay. I was like, Lindsay, help me. She's yelling back at me. She is like, I'm upstairs or fucking you deal with it. I'm like, no, I need your help. So she comes downstairs. Oh, God. See, and it completely broke. Like, screen shattered. Thing is brand new. And I've been trying to think about, like, oh, how am I, you know, can I buy a new one and return it? No, I can't do that, man. And of course, I didn't buy the damage protection or whatever. But that's,
yeah,
wanted to start our new segment off with a big bang. Damn. So that's the big TV that's in my toy room. Luckily, it didn't fall on my workstation or any of my other hot toys around here. But yeah, it fell on your boy's head. And
I have a couple follow-ups though for you.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Obviously, number one, what was your sobriety level at the time?
I was watching the Bucks game.
Were there Natty Lights, Natter Days going on?
There was no Natter Days, but there was probably some recreational. I think
I got you.
Some recreational
going
on. Yeah.
Motor skills are a little bit slow. Mm-hmm. I feel you on that. Well, then the second thing is that, did you fuck up the mount? And is the mount serviceable?
No, mount, everything's good. Okay. You know,
have you since adjusted it? Let's put it that way.
No, the mount and everything was fine. I was just an idiot and I didn't have it. Like, when I was trying to move it, I didn't put it back on like the rung, and I thought I'd, and then, yeah. So, that's all fixed, ready to go. So I just got to buy a new one.
Damn. And here I was, you know, flexing a couple weeks ago saying, man, I hung a fucking floating shelf.
Yeah, like, dude.
And so, Dave, if you need me to come over there and help you hang your TVs the right way, man, I know what I'm doing, man. Just get that pieces of tape, line it up like this, you know, just like I said, man, that does suck. And that is one hell of a collector casualty. Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be able to top something quite like that.
I'm really excited about this segment because we're gonna have some oddball shit. I know we are. Like, I can't wait to hear like the overpaying, you know, situations that we get into or something like that. That'll be fun. Like me buying, you know, a $20 tape and then finding it for 99 cents at a garage sale or something.
Yeah, man. Oh, I feel like that. I mean, we have some really banger segments, but I feel like this one could be, you know, one for the ages. And I can't wait to highlight this. And you know, we'll put it on the Instagram. This will be a good thing, man. Great, great idea.
All right. Speaking, you know, of TV, I didn't get to watch it on this TV. So I watched this on the main, you know, family room with the kids during that dog shit football game that was yesterday. Mm. My boy Moon Knight 66 junkie.
Mark Spector.
Love it. It looks great.
It does.
I mean, first reaction, you know, if anyone, I think you're, you know, I can speak for both of us here, Kevin, and a lot of the, you know, if anyone is familiar with the character, I was a little concerned to see what version of Mark Spector we were going to get, if Disney was going to really want to get their hands dirty and tackle, you know, the whole mental issues that he has. And it looks like we're, you know, if they're not going right after it, I mean, it's, they're not ignoring it either. Like the
So, you get that from the trailer itself.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. CGI is a little shaky, you know, with the suit thing. So I'm curious how much of that we're, you know, is going to be are we going to get any practical effects when he's in his full Moon Knight, you know? So I'm really excited. I can't wait. This is my most anticipated small screen show that we're getting this year. I mean, even more than Stranger Things. I just cannot wait for this show.
Yeah. And I think it comes out, what, March 30th? Is that correct? Yeah. So, I mean, it's not it's not that far away. And I think you bring up a great point is that I know that Multiverse of Madness is kind of diving into the darker realm of, no pun intended, of the dark side of Marvel, essentially, because as much as we love all the bright colors, the Iron Man and Captain America, you know, you and I grew up with a lot of comic book heroes and villains that aren't exactly family friendly. I mean, out there, I mean, you have, you know, Mephisto, which is literally Satan, essentially. Yeah. I mean, and you think through all that. But I think this could definitely be a good direction, because a lot of Disney properties sometimes get shit on for saying, oh, you Disney-fied it. And some people are saying, oh, you Disney-fied Boba Fett. And they may have. We'll wait to make the judgment on that. But this is not one that you really can do that with. If you're going to do the character, you're going to do the character. And so I'm excited to say that. And can I just say that, you know, this is Jason Isaacs' third Marvel piece, you know, that he played Apocalypse in X-Men, which was something, we'll just put it that way. Could have been done a lot better. He was completely wasted in the sequel trilogy from Star Wars as Poe, but the dude's a hell of an actor. The dude's a hell of an actor, and I mean, he's fantastic in Dune. I mean, he knows what he's doing. I think it was, is it Oblivion? I forget which one it is, where he's like with Natalie Portman. Is that the same movie?
Oblivion. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's really good in that too. And I want to see him play a mentally unstable superhero. And I think he's going to do a great job.
Machina and Drive. He had a small role in Drive, and it was kind of one of his early roles, but he's a wonderful actor. And I was pushing for my boy Shia LaBeouf. I thought he would fucking nail this role. But yeah, you can't go wrong.
I think Shia may still be dealing with the actual demons still at this point.
Yeah,
so
he's been very method for this role for the last 5 years. Yeah. But yeah, I think Oscar's going to fucking crush it here. So can't wait for that. Can't wait for the toys. And was I tripping? Did Hot Toys post something about, like, they're like, hey, gear up, we're bringing a Moon Knight and like four other properties, right?
Yeah, they did. They kind of did one of their teaser Instagram story posts, whatever you want to call it. And they said, hey, we want to let you know that we have the licenses to these properties, one being Moon Knight, I Am Groot, as well as, you know, the Multiverse of Madness, and obviously the No Way Home stuff that they've been teasing. And so all that stuff is going to be on its way. And I think it's going to be great. And I think a 1/6 Moon Knight done properly, if that suit is going to be as good as it looked in the trailer, that's going to be a shelf stealer for real.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I will buy that till the cows come home. And then I also want a sideshow quarter scale statue of something Moon Knight. You know, the really older ones, the Diamond Select ones, and the XM Studios, they're just too much. So I'm holding out hope that there's going to be some nice statues there. But show looks fantastic. What else we got here? So on Friday the 21st, we got a G.I. Joe fan first Friday. So that's at 11 Eastern. Pretty excited about that one. It's been a minute since, you know, we got much Joe news. Obviously, you know, they had the Skystriker successfully backed HasLab
with two tiers, correct?
With two tiers.
Fantastic.
And yeah, that's a big win. You know, it seemed a little touch and go, but they just kept Lenny and Emily and team just kept on, you know, with the marketing. They had a big push at the end with,
they were really beating that drum, and they did a good job.
Yeah. I think that live panel that they did, you know, maybe it was the day of, like that really, I think was the reason, the difference, you know. And if
are there any properties that you think could learn from G.I. Joe and their HasLab? I thought they did a good job. I wonder if there's anything that other properties could learn from that.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you one team that could definitely learn from that, you know, and you know, maybe just like, just be more present in the community, mm-hmm. you know. You know, that's one thing that's so great about, you know, Steve Evans. You know, he's, it seemed like he was the loudest kind of representative on Hasbro for Star Wars.
Yeah,
you know, and he that's not even his brand anymore.
And that's what this is called. You know, this Friday is fan first. I mean, let us know that you hear us, and that, hey, you know, this is for collectors by collectors, that type of stuff. Do we have any hints or indication other than obviously mentioning HasLab? Anything that they've leaked or anything you're anticipating?
I don't think so. I haven't really kept up with, you know, rumors and whatnot with the G.I. Joe classified line. But, you know, I sure do hope that we get one or two, you know, that we talked about on our last show, you know, figures that we're predicting for the year. I believe I had Lifeline and Shipwreck. Yeah, as to Lifeline is definitely a deeper cut. I feel like Shipwreck is, you know, most people that are familiar with G.I. Joe's would remember Shipwreck, mm-hmm. Lifeline, maybe not so much. But, you know, I think Serpentor was one that might happen. And that would be, it sounded like a vehicle set, you know, where he would be on his little, I don't even know that thing, his like little hover chair thing. Yeah. And then there's another one with Dr. Mindbender, which that'll be a figure that when Dr. Mindbender drops, that'll be a big deal. That was like when we got Zartan and figures like that. So I'm glued to my seat on that one. I'll definitely be checking out that live.
Do you think we'll get a Sergeant Slaughter? Do you think we'll finally get the reveal? Ooh, or is it too early for that?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I mean, who's to say if it's too early? That those conversations were over a year ago, I'd think, right?
So here's a hot take for you. Is it possible that, I think, you know, in WWE, the Royal Rumble's coming up, could Sergeant Slaughter make an appearance at the Royal Rumble to tease his character?
No.
To tease his toy? I'm just throwing things out there, obviously.
Just start screaming maggots.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like, buy my toy. You know, it's going to go on Hasbro Pulse at 4. Maybe $50. All right. Well, so that's it for Joe. I did want to talk about, there was a convention last weekend in Las Vegas, a Halloween Party Expo. So I think this is a trade only type show. Like, you know, you and I couldn't go to it, or maybe we could get a, you know, what do you call it? A
party bus.
No, what are those passes? Like,
oh, press passes.
Press pass. Yeah, press pass.
Just I mean, I already got that on lock for ICCC coming up.
There you go. So, yeah, media pass, you know.
Yeah. We're celebrities, man.
But dude,
big names.
The trick or treat booth. Now, they showed off a very hot item in the Kevin and Amy household. Coming in April, by the way. They showed off the beautiful little werepup.
And the pictures look just as good as I thought they might. And I told you that this is coming to Replay Toys, and it will be then added to Kevin Shelf here. And I'll clear the room.
Shelf or stroller? Baby Bjorn.
I guess a baby Bjorn would be really cute. Maybe even get like a, you know, a pram a la Grogu, but put the werepup in it.
There you go. Yeah. And that's an ICCC. Baby Bjorning, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you can say it's, you know, the Wolfman from the Cantina's kid.
Oh my god.
See, this there's a lot of lore and I can explain all of it. So
I'm already like thinking, what was that guy's name? It started with a Z, I think, right?
It was the Shistizvian Wolfman.
Yeah, all right. There you go. That's his offspring. About that deep cut. That's his love child. But yeah, that looks great. They did also show some other six scale stuff. I know you like this movie, Sam from Trick or Treat and Six Scale. The three kids from Season of the Witch, all in six scale. I've yet to really, you know, in person, you know, do a deep dive on Trick or Treat six scale. I can't really tell, you know, quality. The price seems nice, you know, but if it's
they are, yeah.
If it's kind of, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the only ones I can really speak to are, you know, all the different Michael Myers that they have. And yeah. I think maybe it's a tad unfair because, as you and I know, there's some really shitty masks out there. And right. So that translate to a really
too accurate. Figure. It's yeah. too accurate.
It translates to a shitty shitty figure as well. The one thing I would say is that some of the tailoring, and this could be expected because of the price point, you'll get some good sculpts, but some of the tailoring may be a little bit suspect. Like the zippers will be a little bit bigger than they need to be. You're getting what you get, but I mean, yeah. they look great on the shelf, but when you start examining a little too close, mm-hmm. then you might be like, I don't know.
Yep. I really wish they had, more high res photos, but the Sam one, it came like with a really cool kind of display, some accessories. That one looked really cool.
Yeah, and that's one thing they do well is the accessories and some of the elemental display pieces yeah. that you can have with it. That is one of their bread and butters that I do like. And I think a lot more 6-scale companies, I wish they would do more of that. I know a lot yeah. of it go into their R&D with the head sculpts or whatever. But if you're for that price point and what you get, I mean, that's pretty darn good.
Yep. And that I'll be bringing that up here on our top three, but that was a cool little, I wasn't paying attention to that. I didn't even know that was an expo. I was just following, Nightmare Toys in Las Vegas. I followed their account and they were posting that they were there and I was like, oh shit, there's an actual like expo. That'd be cool to go to. Let's get to it. So this is, our first top three of the year, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So we didn't really get to tackle it last episode in 64. That was more about, you know, doing our top 10 predictions and whatnot. But this top three is going to be kind of what goals do we have as collectors this year? We did it towards the beginning of last year, doing it again this year. You know, what are we trying to accomplish or change up our collecting styles, whatnot? So that's what this one's about. Kevin, let's go, man. What's number three goals, collecting goals of this year, 2022?
Yeah. And I think that as collectors, you know, let me just say that we are always trying to improve all of our collections because they're an extension of ourselves. And just as we work on ourselves, you know, for the new year, I think you should always be working on your collections as well and what you want to do to better it. But one of the things I started it a little bit last year, but I'm really going to try to kick it into overdrive this year simply because the missus gave me a little more real estate to yep. continue to work on. But one of the things I'm going to be adding to the collection, I am going to be upping the artwork game. I know you and I have talked about that, is that sometimes you can be overwhelmed when you walk in and you just see figures all over the place, but there's something about well-positioned pieces of art that really help balance your room and help balance the collection. And I've seen some really cool things. And so there's the actual art pieces that, you know, you can get them, you know, framed up, do whatever you want to do. But I've also been looking at, there's those digital, like picture poster frames that you can just kind of change out the different digital poster of it. Yeah. I've looked into that. I'm not real handy, as you know, I hung my floating shelf. But this would require like a power source. And I don't know if I'm capable of doing something like that, being able to put it up in the collection room the right way. And especially if I put, so I've been thinking about that, but there are going to be, you know, different types of artwork that I put in there. So I'm looking forward to, I think the first one I'm going to get, for this year, cause I do have some art there, you can see behind me.
Yep.
I think one of the ones I'm going to get and put it right in front of me right here above the statues is it's a sideshow piece where it's the artwork of Ahsoka coming out of the temple essentially, but with the Vader,
the robe. Yeah.
Yeah. With the Vader helmet that's broken open behind her. Really cool. It's like a pink, black and red poster. Sure. And they have it at Replay Toys. It's already framed up and they've done the hard work for me. And so I'm like, ooh, cause I was just there picking up that mall piece and I saw it again. So coming soon, I'm going to add some more artwork to the collection, man.
I love that, man. Yeah. And, completely agree with you. And, that's also part of my top three. I had this is two, but I'll move it up just to kind of piggyback off of you.
Yeah.
Mine is also, you know, relating to artwork and that's, dude, I have so many fucking, Lindsay makes fun of me all the time. I have rolls and rolls and rolls of prints and I do have limited wall space, and you know, I have you know, a decent, you know, pile of flat prints too. And something that I'm really trying to get this year is a flat filing cabinet. And I have a, you know, a little opportunity kind of similar to you, you know, in our living room, we were looking for a coffee table and I was like, well, boom, how about I finally get, you know, a flat filing cabinet. I'll put a nice butcher block on it and that will be our coffee table. But, and then I got five big thick ass drawers that are, you know, 47 inches by 32 that I can put full on one sheets in and full on prints. And, so that's something that I'm focusing on. I want to get, you know, find a good deal on the flat filing cabinet. They are kind of hard to find, at a reasonable price at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be able to kind of rotate art in and out of the collection. You know, obviously you're going to have, you know, some pieces that just, you know, if you get a custom frame on a weird print, you're stuck with that. You know, you're not going to have another print that's a weird dimension. But right. with one sheets, you know, and that's something that I've really been kind of getting into the last year is, you know, I just like grabbing one sheet. So I have a bunch of one sheets, just in the roll paper rolls because I don't have them up, but you know, I want to be able to store them right and just get shit back on the walls. So that was also my number three. So there you go, man. So we'll hold each other accountable on that.
I think so. And I think that's only going to benefit both of us. And each one's a little bit different, but it's still in the same family, if you want to call it that. So I hope all of our three aren't identical in a sense.
No, I think we're safe from here on out. Yep.
Okay. Well, number two for me is something that, you know, I've started to dabble in, but I really want to kind of build out on is that I want to continue to get more statue pieces to kind of, because right now I have a real nice area set up to put statues in, whether it be the big ones or even just kind of the smaller, you know, 1/7 with the busts and stuff.
The mini busts,
Yeah, and I like to continue to go down that because it breaks up the monotony. And yes, I have a lot of 6-scale figures, but I feel like some of the busts and statues are more artsy because they have the poses and stuff and they're really drawn to it. And as I continue to expand, you know, out this door and such and kind of set up the office. And if you're wondering, I'm on a plastic table here with my computer. Cause I was having to do
it temporary. Yeah.
Yeah. I was having to do a video call for work and I was like, I am not about to have this mess situation be here. So I moved it back in here for today. But anyway, once I come back out here is that I really would like to, once you come up our stairs, that's where all the statues are. Let this kind of be the toys, but outside there and like the sitting area is where all the statues are. So I want it to be like, I feel like 6-scale is a little bit of adult collecting, but out there is a little more sophisticated.
That's
where I'd like to put the statue. So we're going to go for a more sophisticated, refined collection by the end of 2022.
You better start looking at Regal Robot, you know.
Believe me, products, I follow them. Now, I will say, Dave, you know, I don't think some of their options are quite for me, sure. Because I don't know if
you don't want that emperor chair, the emperor throne.
No, are you talking about the office chair that was the throne?
Yeah,
that looked incredible, but their price points are a little high for me.
Sure.
I think that Salacious Crumb was what, like 10 grand or something like that. I mean, it looked incredible, but
it would look good with the Cookie Monster.
Oh, hell yeah. Cookie Monster and Salacious Crumb sitting right next to my Mythos statues. That'd be sick.
The crossover the world deserves. That's a mashup right there. Cookie Monster and Salacious Crumb. Well, nice, man. Yeah, that'll look good. And I'm happy that you you know, you got the expansion opportunity there, dude. That's gonna be fun to see your progress there. All right. So my number two. So I'll start it off with this Black Series. I'm done. I'm throwing
You're
in the
officially bailing out, huh?
I'm officially throwing in the towel on the Black Series. I was going to make it like a bigger deal, but no, I mean, I even went as far as this weekend, I canceled all my pre-orders. I'm like, I'm just done.
Wow.
I do not have the desire, to keep up with that line. It doesn't excite me. Like, dare I say, like, I even was kind of getting to the point with than I was with Funko. Like when I think I've told the story numerous times about with Funko, and I was like, I got like it was a Rose Tico Pop, and then I was just like, why am I paying money for it? Like, it brought me no joy and nothing. And then I was like, why am I doing this? And then I was like, none of this, like 80% of these pops, like I don't really like care about, especially when I had like 100, but like what the Black Series, I'm not selling any of my figures.
Right.
I'm just not buying any new ones. So you like, I canceled the George Lucas one.
Mm.
I canceled some other Mandalorian related ones, but yeah, so I'm all done there. And I think that attention that I'm now going to have is shifting towards Hot Toys, baby.
Yeah.
And not just Hot Toys, but one goal of mine is I want to expand even further in the six scale world. And I want to dabble more in some third party companies,
yeah,
specifically in the horror genre. So
yeah, there's some really good ones out there.
Yeah. I mean, like that Evil Dead by Asmus Toys, mm-hmm. The Lost Boys, David, I believe that's Red Man Toys. There's some really great Jack Torrance ones out there. You got Art, the clown from Trick or Treat, which they also showed at that expo. You know, the Breaking Bad figures by 3-0. I want to get a little bit different from Hot Toys, but also different from primarily my Hot Toys collection is Star Wars. I do have a few, but I really think when that Pennywise shows up, that's going to just, oh man, my kind of horror related, you know, six scale figure buying will probably be even with my Star Wars Hot Toy buying. So that's something that I want to focus on, is kind of just expanding, the six scale collection, away from Star Wars, but still Star Wars.
You know, that's a bold move, because I know that whenever there's parts of our collection that we back away from, there's always something that comes out right down the pipeline. Like, oh, am I sure I want to do this? And so, Dave, let me just implore you that, you know, once some of these pipelines or reveals and these incredible figures and such are teased, stay strong, brother.
Yeah.
Because once you make that choice, continue down that choice. And that kind of trends. I know you said that we don't have the same stuff, but that's actually kind of very similar to my number one, because this is an issue that I noticed this year for me, is that I ended up buying some things that have already been sold and I moved out of the collection, and that I don't know why I got them other than just because I could. And that is not something I want to keep in my collection at all. I want every piece that I have to have meaning to me. And yeah. So I remember when we went through the, you know, the Justice League and all the DC stuff, and I started to fill up the DC
power,
tower.
The Power Rangers too,
the
right?
Power Rangers, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And I got them just because they were out. And one of the things I am making sure of is that 2022, my focus is strictly on Marvel and Star Wars, as well as just the entertainment wall that we talked about, you know, with my Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. I feel like
Back
those are
the future.
Yeah. But I'm not doing DC. I'm not jumping down that road. Yeah. I just, as much as I love Batman, and I'm sure, you know, the new Batman movie is going to be fire, I'm just not going to go down that road.
Yep.
I do still have my Dark Knight pieces, just because I still love that movie so much. And those do mean something to me, but I'm not getting different versions of Batman, and I'm not doing any of the Arkham stuff anymore.
Right.
I'm not running down to anything that doesn't have a special tie to me. And yes, I grew up with the Power Rangers, but those weren't great figures, right, and they didn't fit my collection. And
those are 3-0, right? Those ones are,
those were, I think, Star Ace, and then 3-0 came out with a better set.
Yeah.
But there's a few other ones out there, but I really want to make sure that I'm buying pieces that are me. Yeah. And so, I mean, we're all guilty of it. And I've talked about this a bunch on some of these live streams about, why do you get what you get? Why do you pre-order anything? And is it because you just want to be able to say, hey, I have it? Bad reason. And I did that a lot this year, and I will not be doing that this year.
You know what? I never really thought about it, but pre-ordering kind of helps with that, you know, that buyer's remorse a little bit, because you know, these pre-orders last for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, and Hot Toys over a year. And then it's like, okay, well, fuck, I'm expecting to get this hot toy. But then it's like, you know what? 8 months later, do I really want whatever this figure? Yeah, you're going to eat your $25, you know, NRD there.
It certainly beats 300. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I'm actually doing that right now with a Big Bad. I bought the Mezco Destro G.I. Joe because I was like, I remember that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm collecting every fucking scale that G.I. Joe is gonna do. They're only gonna do classified and now Mezco. Like that's it. They're not gonna do anymore. And then it's like, oh no, then Super 7 is doing a line, and then they got the retros, and then it's like, oh no, vintage is still very much like a thing I want too, all of a sudden now. And then I was like, I don't need fucking Mezco G.I. Joes. And it was like a $10, you know.
That's the Destro with the teeth, right?
He's the chrome dude.
The one with the teeth, I'm saying. It's the sculpt with the teeth.
Yeah. I forget which one
that was.
I think so. Well, there's the Daredevil, the pimp Destro, where he's you know, he looks like a pimp. You're not talking about that one, are you?
Well, there is one that came with two head sculpts. One was his typical like stoic look, but then the other one had like teeth that looked ridiculous.
I can't remember if that's the Mezco one or if that's the Super 7 one. I do. Yeah, and they're all like the same color chrome. Yeah, it looks weird. I don't know where I was going with that. So that's your number one then, yeah?
Yeah, just really making sure to focus, and that whenever anyone comes over, they're like, hey, why do you have this or who's this? And give you an actual explanation as opposed to, oh, I got this so that I could take a picture of it and get some likes on Instagram.
That's so responsible of you. You know, look at you.
Sometimes.
Look at you. That's the most logic that's ever been said on this entire podcast. You just did it. Buy what you actually want. What a simple concept, right? Like, why is that? Why do some collectors like a struggle with that?
Buy what you really, really want, though.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, we're collectors who are willing to go broke to impress broke collectors, thinking that we're not broke. I tweeted about that. You know, is this a hobby or a habit? You know, and I did a whole video about that. Is this a hobby or a habit? And if you end up immediately having something come in, you're like, oh, I'm selling this, then you didn't want it in the first place. And so, you know, save yourself the time and the listings and the deposits, and just focus up, man.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. Okay, my number one. So a number one, my number one collecting goal last year was to finish the Kenner Star Wars regular line.
Yep.
I didn't throw in the other sublines like Ewoks and stuff like that, but just the regular line. And I did that. Yep. And I even did the cherry on the top with the blue Snaggle, which I wouldn't normally count as being part of the regular release line, but it's certainly a badass figure.
It's a must have.
Yeah, it's a must. And this year that's going to be to round out the sublines. So,
okay, cool.
I'm one figure away from finishing the Ewoks line. I need the Ewok Scout. And then I have none of the droid figures from the cartoon series. So that is going to be that line is just as much as, you know, the last 17 line as far as for cost. I think the C-3PO and the R2 units are very expensive, you know, $500.
How many are in there? Is it like, it's only like 20 or something, isn't it?
No, it's not that deep. I could tell you right here, but I think it's only like 12. And it's funny, someone actually posted, I forget who, but someone posted on Instagram, like, I think this would have been so much better if chapter 3 of Mandalorian used the characters from the droids, you know, for his biker gang, because they had the same color.
Yeah.
They had the same colors and everything. But yeah, you got C-3PO, John Tosh, Jor Dassat, Kia Maul, Kez Aban, R2, Sissy from Thal Jobin, Tig from, and Uncle Gundy.
Uncle Gundy, nice.
Yeah, so there's 10. There's 10 figures, but they're all like, I don't think I can get a single one of them you know, for under $200. So I'm basically having to buy like 10 hot toys right there. But that's my main focus of 2022 there.
Well, I love that, man. And I remember I had one, I don't know if it was droids or Ewoks. I had one of those growing up when I had my original Kenner run.
Yeah.
It was the green ogre looking guy, the green and orange piece. Is that a droid or Ewok one?
He was
bright green.
Bright green. That I would probably say that's droids.
I'm about to look it up. Let's see. I mean, droids, Kenner.
I do have kind of a greener looking Ewok. This part of the Ewok line, but I'm almost positive it's from droids that you're thinking of.
It is droids. No, it is Ewoks. I'm looking at Vintage Vault here right now. I wish I could.
He's the green. Leader. He's the leader.
I think
right?
so. Yeah, with the bone tomahawk. The bone mohawk. Yeah, yep. That's the one I had.
Yeah. Well, I got that one too, and the coin. So there
cool.
you go.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's go into fucking Karen's corner. Jeez,
we got a lot to talk about.
Call the manager. Need to speak with the manager. Let's go in. So. This is that you brought this to the table. So how about you prep this up and then we'll just unload this. We'll tag team this Karen's corner.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. This is one that I want to be careful on how we get into this. Long story short, we were hyped as fuck that the HasLab was the Ghostbusters Proton Pack. It's like, oh, sweet Spengler's pack, blew away all the records. Fantastic. And then the big question was, hey, does the wand from Egon's wand, is this work? And they're like, well, yeah, it works. We're going to go ahead and also go ahead and give you this nice little attachment. If you go ahead and get this tier unlocked, we'll help you out here. Oh, hell yeah. This is going to be everything that we want for our cosplays, for our displays. I mean, we're going to have an actual proton pack. And you and I know that, I know you're modding the spirit pack. People can put a shit ton of money into these packs, but you're getting a movie accurate proton pack for $500, which is fantastic. Very, very cool. And so the only thing is that you needed to have the wand. Now, the wand came out well before the HasLab came out, and some people had those. And then they started to say, okay, let's go ahead and re-release it because there's so many people out there that are going to want this. And that's great. That's awesome. Thanks for listening to the fans, everybody. So we got getting all these pre-orders in for all these wands, all these packs, and it's over. And they're like, congratulations, it's funded. This is going to be so good. Let's go bust some fucking ghosts. And hey, we'll let you know when we're shipping out the wand. We'll let you know when the packs are ready. Have a good night, everybody. And we're like, man, this is going to be so cool. But then I happened to get on to Instagram today. Now, let's keep in mind, the backing time is over. You know, this is well after the fact.
Yes.
How far are we out? 2 months, 3 months from that? I guess a month.
I feel like that was in October, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was a minute. All right. Yeah. And so we get today this breaking news that they're saying, hey, cosplayers, we are going to help you out. I'm like, oh, wow. What could this possibly be?
They
what
are added they to help? Something. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, man, they're going to make it even easier on it. So here's the big one. They're making a running change to Egon's wand. Now, they're not making it more screen accurate. They are making it less screen accurate. They're not just making it less screen accurate. They are officially turning it into a Nerf gun. You say, Kevin, what are you talking about here? They are taking away the tip because it was metal and kind of silvery and turning it orange. Okay, you ever grab one of those little fake guns, I guess, growing up, and it always, you had like the Uzi, but it had a little orange tip on it. And just in case you were having to go out and walking through your neighborhood, everyone's like, oh, there's Dave with his Uzi. It's cool. It's got the orange tip. He ain't out there to blow anybody away.
It's an Uzi that shoots M&Ms, you know?
Exactly. You know. But at least it had that orange tip, and that we knew that it was safe. And I tell you what, people are losing their minds because here's where I have, and I'll volley it back over to you, is that do we want to be safe, and especially in this climate that we have where, you know, the world's a crazy place. It's a shit show out there. Let's be honest. This is not a gun. This is not something that anyone would say and be like, oh, wow. It's called a wand. And so are we going to start putting orange tips on Harry Potter's wands? It just mind blowing to me about how cheap that this makes this thing look. And it's a dick move. And I don't understand the reasoning, because they're like, oh, it makes it con safe, so you can wear your proton pack without anybody having any issues. Dave, where do you come out on this? Because I'm sure you have some thoughts.
So, yeah, no one's fucking mistaking this for a gun. So, first of all, if that's an, I don't know, I haven't dug into this at all, but if that's why they're saying they might have, you know, put this safety measurement, if it's not just, if they're saying it for cosplay, sure, fine. But if they're like, oh, and we're also, you know, gonna abide by the same toy gun law act, you know, we're gonna put a little red, you know, safety tip, that yeah, like, to your point, yeah, okay, are you gonna do it on a fucking fire hose toy? And you know what I mean, just like silly other things, like, where do we draw the line there? And I mean, it's a couple 90 kids talking here, you know, so of course we're going to complain about it. But I just think that it's not a big issue for me, because I got lucky and I bought the fucking,
right,
OG,
you got the
one.
Original, but there's so many people that they backed the pack because they wanted to get the wand, and because they were re-releasing the wand, and they re-released the wand during the backing campaign, and so people are like, oh sweet, of course I'm gonna get this, why not? It's mind-blowing to me. If it's going to be an issue, make it an interchangeable nozzle or something. You know, that way, if you go to cons, put right. the orange one on. If that's, no one's going to abide by that, obviously. But if it covers your ass legally or whatever, it just is so mind-numbingly stupid. And you're paying $500 for a Nerf gun now, and it looks ridiculous. And I know if people are already saying, okay, do I need to go and get the Gundam markers, or what are we doing? Because this is right. not going to be orange on mine. And you're paying $500 to mod something. And that's insane to me. I don't sure. that hurts me.
Yeah. It, I mean, I got to think too, like, it's technically not part of the HasLab. So, you know, they can look at that and like, well, you know, this is specifically around that, but I do get what you're saying. I, you know, even if mine had it, I probably wouldn't even like think twice about it. But the fact that they're going out of their way to make the running change now, I'm going to sink my teeth into it, because I'm a super troll, and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, well, like, why are you now acknowledging it? And at the end of the day, I'm just like, dude, I fucking miss the 90s, man. I just miss the days where we didn't have to yeah. like think about weird shit like that. You know, it's just like,
I mean, is there any moment where you would walk down the street and you see a dude wearing a proton pack and think that it's going to be lethal towards you? Do you see anybody walking with a lightsaber and be like, oh, that one's real or not? I mean, it's a proton pack from Ghostbusters. I feel like that is one of, if not the most iconic pieces of tech in pop culture. You know what that is. And there's not... Let's protect our law enforcement. Sure, we don't want anyone at risk. But if you're out there and you're in the middle of a gang fight and someone has a Glock versus a Neutrino wand, I feel like you're going to know the difference.
Sorry, man. But, on mute. Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely going to know the difference. And you know, with the lightsabers, it's just like, okay, are we gonna put those on fucking lightsabers too?
Yeah, it's a mess. And as you said, we miss the 90s. We miss Blockbuster. We miss the Pizza Hut red cups. We miss all that stuff. And there's a lot of unhappy people out there today that I know some people that said they're canceling their HasLab. Does this make you? Well, you said you already got the one.
There's people. You've yeah. seen that? Oh, my God.
People are. If you go to the r/Ghostbusters on Reddit, people are saying, I'm done canceling the HasLab. I'm not paying $500 for something that I have to mod myself.
Oh, I like this.
It's toxic out there, man.
That's so ridiculous, man. Yeah, I definitely don't think it's anything to, you know, if you're canceling it at this point, you fucking didn't want that thing then, you know, like, really, a little piece of, like, that seems ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous on both sides. It's ridiculous that they're doing it, but it's ridiculous if someone's going to be like, no, fuck that, not my proton pack, you know.
I mean, some people want to use the markers or whatever. I mean, just grab some electrical tape or whatever and make it real simple.
The wand, I'm already going to mod a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
It came with that, like, that one solid, like, gook that's supposed to be like the tape, the hand, you know, yeah, worn yeah. kind of tape over the grip. And I want to get rid of that and 3D print the actual grip and then put actual, worn duct tape around it. So I'm already planning on modding that. So yeah, it wouldn't be an issue to mod that tip either.
You know, I can't wait to just the tip. You know, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of jokes out there for that. I can't wait to see the edited version of Ghostbusters where they come out and lock and load, and Gozer sees the orange tip and she knows that's not serious. So you know that's coming. You know it's out there.
Oh man, yeah. And then he's like, a one, go on two.
Oh, just kidding, it's just a prop. Har har har.
She'll be like, I know you're joking, Venkman, you know. All right.
Are you a god? No, I'm a comedian.
Oh shit, man. Well, I don't have any wrecks of the week. Do you? Do you got any?
Not officially, so I'm not going to force one.
Okay.
I will have a collector casualty because I have something that is been ongoing for about 2.5 weeks. Spoiler alert.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you've probably seen some stuff on Instagram. I can't wait to see how this ends.
How the saga ends.
Yeah. And as I said, there's more development and intrigue than the Book of Boba Fett currently for what's going on with this piece. And, spoiler a little bit, there is a package floating out there for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in it. I don't know where it originated from. My buddy Josh, he's like, hey, just Google the address. I put it up. It's like some shady Egyptian company. So I don't know if like they're going to, like, I'm getting a giant bomb. I don't know if it's, I have no idea. And so it just stuck. It's stuck in transit everywhere. And so right now it's been spending, 4 days in Georgia. And that said, it's supposed to be delivered again today, which it's not going to be. And we'll see when I get it. But we should have a good collector casualty segment coming up in the next episode.
Looking forward to it, man.
If I don't do something stupid and drop something on myself, so.
Yeah, well, just don't drop a TV. I mean, that hurts. I even fucked my back up a little bit. But anyways, well, that'll do it. Episode 65. Kevin, always a pleasure, man. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
I don't, man, other than that hopefully the next time I come back, I will be able to say, hey, man, I'm super excited that I'm going to be able to watch the Bengals in the AFC Championship game.
Yes, there you go.
Because I firmly believe, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen, the Titans will fall to the Bengals by a score. Here you go. A score of 23-20.
Okay. Yeah. And that was my upset. I told the homies what I thought was going to go down, in the divisional games there. And, I got Bengals for the upset, man.
That sounds good. I think it's going to happen, man. Joe Burr.
All right. Well, have a good, rest of your weeks, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you guys out there. Thanks a lot, everybody.